Let's wow them. Wow, 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 wow. Nice job. Wow, that was awesome. Wow. Awesome. Wow. Awesome. Don't you like life that has wow moments? Right? Huh? We love those wow moments. We're going to have one this morning. I can promise you that. Because we're going to wow them, aren't we? Yes, we are. All right, beautiful. You're in this with me? Okay, so that means you're going to have to wow with us. All right, you'll do it on cue, I know. All right, beautiful. All right. Let's turn to the book of Matthew this morning. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew 14, I'm going to begin at verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. And before I get there, I'm going to give you a backdrop on what is transpiring or what had preceded this particular story in the Bible. Jesus had been with the disciples. There were about 5,000 people that he was teaching and healing and just being with. And he was about to send them home, but he realized that they were hungry. So he turned to the disciples and said, go get some food and feed these people. We can't let them go without a full stomach. We can't let them go. They'll faint along the way. And the disciples responded with not such a good wow. They said, where are we going to find food to feed all these people? It's impossible. Anybody ever have an impossible moment in your life? All the time. But I want to promise you this. As every impossible that there is, God always performs a wow moment after that. You're going to see. It's going to happen in your life. I promise you that. I promise you that. Don't know when. I do know it will happen. So the disciples, they bring 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Jesus takes that food, and what's he do? Multiplies it, feeds all the people. There's 12 baskets left over. And what did the disciples say? Wow. Wow. So that, what did the wow moment do for those disciples? In that impossible moment when the wow happened, what happened to the disciples? Changed them, didn't it? Did that not give them more faith in that moment? Faith that could carry them a full lifetime, right? No matter what they ever were faced with after that moment when they saw what Jesus did to take 5 loaves, 2 fish, feed 5,000, 12 baskets left over, they were good to go now. That no matter what they faced as disciples from that moment forward, they knew they had the faith that would move a mountain. They could do anything and they would have lots of wow moments themselves, right? Yes. Let's go to the next verse then, chapter 14, verse 22. It says, immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he went and sent the people home. So he sends the disciples who were, most of them, fishermen who knew how to fish and also how to steer a boat, right? Okay. So he says, you go ahead. I'll catch up with you later. You take off in the boat, I'm going to send the people home. And I kind of wonder about that. I wonder how long that took. 5,000 people were there. And that's just the men, it says. So actually, there were women and children, too. They weren't all counted. So who knows how many people were there, right? Tons of people were there. And so Jesus decides to send them home. Boy, what a hug line that was, huh? Whew, come get a hug, he said, on the way you go home. And one after the other. Oh, anyway. Jesus apparently has very strong arms, right? To hug us all. So he sends the people home. That, we know, took some time. Now, the sea that they're going to cross is the Sea of Galilee, by the way. It's about 8 miles wide. So it could take, I don't know, maybe 3 hours by boat to get across there. Okay, so that's about how long it took Jesus to say goodbye. Slightly longer than it takes us to say goodbye to you on a Sunday. Okay, so, which is fine. So anyway, afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. So not only does he say goodbye, he goes and prays now. You see, once he's ministered, you watch what happens in ministry for all of us that serve God, right? You do a wow moment, and then what do? You say goodbye to the folks. You thank them for coming, right? You give them a big old hug and send them on their way with the blessing. And then you go and pray. You go get filled up for more because ministry never ends. Service never ends. It's a 24/7 thing. It really is. all of you servants of God. So that's what it is, right? So he goes away and he prays. He spends time alone with God, which is what all of us need after we've done a wow moment. You go pray and get filled up again. Who knows what's coming, right? More ministry. So in the meantime, they're out, you know, the disciples are pretty much, they probably already landed, right, by this time, right? Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. Far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. So what happened to the disciples? They hit a problem, right? They're in the boat. They're heading across the sea. Done it who knows how many times before that, all the time, as they traveled with Jesus, right? But in the meantime, they hit a storm, or a storm hits them, and there's wind and there's waves, and now they're in trouble. So what do you think they're going to do? Pray. Hey, we know Jesus did the impossible over here, fed 5,000 people. This is just a little storm. What's the big deal? We'll make it through. Everybody, we're going to stop and pray, and God will see us through. And we just glide along to the shore. They were fighting heavy waves. They weren't praying. They were fighting the waves. They were fighting it. So they're trying to keep the boat afloat. Anybody ever have something in your life where you're just trying to keep your boat afloat? Storms come, the wind comes, right? And now you're fighting the waves, and you're just trying to keep your boat safe, right? Right? You're just trying to make sure you don't drown and go, and nobody goes overboard. Because keep in mind, there's 12 disciples inside of this boat. We're not supposed to lose any of the disciples, right? We don't want anybody going overboard, right? There's no Coast Guard going to come and rescue anybody. So obviously, you know, you got to fight the waves. So we do what we're going to do, right? We fight the waves, don't we? You fight things in life. You fight the waves, you start rowing like crazy, you start being busy, busy, busy. You ask all the people that are in, anybody got a bucket so we can bail out some of this water here? Where's the bucket brigade? Do we have anybody here got a bucket? We need a bucket. We got to get emptied out some of this water, right? We do, don't we, in the middle of a crisis, don't we, disciples? Where did faith go? It's back on shore. The 5,000 people took it home with them. The disciples are like in a freak-out moment, right? Are they not? Do we not do that as Christians, those of us that have strong faith to move mountains? Do we not, when something happens unexpectedly or a storm comes, you know, the Sea of Galilee, it was one of those places that was in between mountains, and the wind could come down and a storm could whip up at any given moment. Is life, think about life in general. You're going through life, you're sailing away, going smoothly. Can anything happen at any given moment? Can everything just break loose all of a sudden? Can a storm come out of nowhere? Can your pipes burst and all of a sudden you got flooding in your bathroom? Oh, yes, it can. Okay. Not to make this about me, but I tell you what, in the middle of a storm like that, when that water was flowing over that toilet and everything was flowing everywhere throughout that house, man, oh man, we went into action. We grabbed every towel in the house. We went to our neighbor's house and asked for towels. We took the sheets off the bed. We took all the clothes that was in the closets and threw it onto that water because we were going to stop that up. I ran over to a store and bought myself a wetback, and I started sucking up that water because I was going to save ourselves from drowning. Drowning in the bathroom. The water had gotten ankle high. I was sure I was going to drown. And about 3 hours later, I decided, Eureka, call a plumber. I cannot save ourselves. Now, nobody else in the room would do such a thing, right? It's only your crazy pastor, right, who has a freak-out moment because there's water going everywhere. We're certainly going to drown in ankle-deep water. See, if there's not enough drama in my life, I can certainly create it because now I have no clothes. I have no towels. I have no sheets because they've all been in the water. And then you got to take bleach and put it in there, and what was used to be green is now yellow. What used to be black is now brown. My sock has a hole in the bottom from the bleach. I'm going to wear it anyway because you don't need to see the bottom. You don't need to see the top. Don't you love panic moments in your life? Aren't you glad that I'm your pastor, that if something breaks loose here at church, I'm going to rush right in and I'm going to start tearing stuff apart and start fixing it for you? Because you might drown in the ankle-deep water. So there were the disciples, back to them. They're freaking out. They're fighting the waves, right? Where's Jesus? Where is this guy anyway, huh? What is he doing? He's up there praying. Come on. Are you going to come help us or not? Oh, sorry. About 3 o'clock in the morning, this is hours later now, 9 hours later, according to Scripture. 9 hours went by. Those disciples were fighting the waves for 9 long hours. And I want to tell you something. When you're fighting water coming out of your toilet, 1 minute seems like 9 hours. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the water. Here comes Mr. Plumber, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. Well, think about it. They've been fighting for 9 hours. It's dark. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, darkest part of the night, right? It's dark, dark, dark at 3 a.m. in the Middle East. No moon, no stars, just darkness, wind, and waves. In your life, have you not been in moments in 3 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Time makes no difference. But sometimes darkness can overshadow us, can't us? The moon seems to go dark. There's no stars. You cannot see your hand in front of you because of all the things that are troubling you. Because your mind is into the problem, right? We're drowning, we're drowning, we're drowning, we're drowning, we're drowning. That's all you can see is the wind and the waves, right? It's blocking your vision, and you're afraid, aren't you, in that moment? Because you think you're going to die, don't you? Of course. Real or imagined, when things scare us because we see it in our mind's eye, we get afraid, don't we? And things get dark, and we can't see our way out of something at times. Am I right? Of course, right. And in that darkest moment, Jesus starts walking on the water to them. He appears. But can you see him in that moment? Can you? No, right? What are you looking at? The things that are in front of you, the things that are scaring you, the problem at hand is all in your face. And Jesus is coming up, and there he is. I'm here. And you're going, get away. And you look, what? One more problem. Thinking it's a ghost because our mind gets distorted in fear, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Your mind becomes distorted when you are in fear. Reality is no longer on your radar. All you see are the problems. They seem overwhelming, and that's what you're visualizing. And you are literally afraid that you are not going to make it through the night. And so, even when something good comes your way to help you, you can't see it for what it really is. They thought it was a ghost. They didn't expect a man to be walking on water, for one thing. Who walks on water? Roto-Rooter. When you are in fear, fear is a debilitating emotion. It will just cause you to do the most irrational, foolish, you think you're helping yourself things, and all you're doing is panicking and just reacting, right? And can you not make things worse by doing that? Of course you can. So the next time you're afraid, you're going to do what? Remember, God is going to save you. You're going to stop and say, whoa, wait. I'm only in ankle deep water. There's no electrical cord, so I'm probably not going to be electrocuted. Thus, I think I'm safe right here, right now. I might be in ankle deep water and I might not like it and it may not smell very good. However, I'm safe. I'm safe. You're safe. You're always in God's hands, aren't you? No matter where you are, right? So the story goes on. They thought it was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. See, here's the thing about God. Even in your panic situation, clarity can come. Oh, a plumber. You see how that, once the panic is open, or over rather, right? When you come to your senses, you go, wait, I know there's a solution, right? Right? There's a solution to every problem we have, isn't there? Even in the impossible things, are there not solutions? Because we're going to get what? A wow moment, aren't we? You wait and see. Just then, Jesus came to them, walking on the water. He speaks to them at once and says, it's all right. I am here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what? The waters, the wind, drowning, all those things that we're so afraid of. We're so afraid of so many things, aren't we, folks? We're so afraid of what somebody thinks of us or what somebody cares about or who's doing what or whatever the case. And we can get so obsessed with all the things that we're afraid of, can't we? Right? Well, what does God say repeatedly throughout the Bible? In fact, it's 365 times in the Word of God. The Bible says, don't be afraid. You think you need one for every day? Don't be afraid. I am here. The plumber. Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to walk to you by walking on water. If it's really you, because, you know, Peter's like, he's right? He's afraid too, right? He wants to know who is this that's showing up on the scene. It could be like a sea monster of some kind, apparently. But he says, if it's really you, you're going to tell me to walk on. I see you walking on water, but if it's really you, God, I'm going to walk on water too. So what does Peter do? We know. Most of us know the story. All right, come, he says. Come on. Out of the boat. What do the rest of the disciples do? What, are you out of your mind? Are you going crazy? Peter, don't go. Peter, we love you. Peter, it's just a ghost. You're delusional. Peter, hold on. We're all going to drown. You're going to leave us here? You're going to leave us in the boat alone? Listen, Peter, the thing that keeps you safe is this boat, right? Don't get out of the boat. The boat's a place of safety, isn't it? When you think you're drowning, what are you trying to hang on to? The things that are around you, right? The things that make you safe. The thing you think is your comfort zone, right? You hold on for, you know, we got to stay in the boat, don't we? At all costs, when you're on the water, you've got to stay in the boat, right? Whatever's going on in your life, you got to stay in that situation, don't you? How are you going to get a wow moment if you don't get out of the boat? All right, Peter, come on. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. We don't know how many feet he walked. It says he walked. That tells me more than one step, right? He starts walking on the water, doesn't he? What's Peter having? A wow moment. What are the disciples doing as they're watching Peter walk on water? Wow! Wow! They forgot about the wind and the waves. They're not even trying to save themselves. Wow, look at Peter go. Wow. You know what I pray, and I pray it for you? I pray that all of you that are sitting here in our boat, when God calls you out of a circumstance that you're in, and wants to give you a wow moment with your life, whatever that is, whatever your comfort zone is that you think is keeping you safe, and maybe there's a storm even in it, and you're staying in it anyway because you feel it's, well, I got to hang on to this. It's my place of safety. Where's your place of safety? Closer to Jesus, right? Right? Where God's calling you out, right? He says, well, come on, let's walk on water together. I'll walk with you. Is this an impossibility? Not with God. But here's my prayer. I pray that you disciples that are sitting in this boat, when somebody steps out in faith to go do something, it motivates you to say, well, shoot, I'm going to walk too. What if all the other 11 disciples said, hey, Peter's walking on water. I'm going to try it. Hey, Thomas, what do you think? Well, I don't know. I doubt it. That was an easy one. And James and John go, well, I'm better than you are, so I should be able to go ahead of you. Oh, no, whoops. But think about what would have happened. What could have happened to those other disciples watching someone doing something miraculous versus doing it themselves? Right? What about, like, of course it's a better wow. See, we can sit in our boat all day long, and you can let it rock and trot and do whatever it's going to do and whatever, and you can stay in it. Yes, you can. Is that where the power is? Is that where the miracles happen? No. Where does a miracle happen? When you step out in faith because you saw Jesus feed 5,000 people. Has anybody in this room ever seen a miracle before their eyes? Lots of miracles. You've seen them. You've watched God. Are you, some of you, a miracle? Yes, by the changes that have happened to you. Right? Anybody been changed inside out? Right? Yes, right? Of course. For those of you that aren't raising your hands, you see, we've had people, we're miracles. So if God can perform a miracle in us, he can perform a miracle in you. But you can stay in your boat, or you can say, you know what? Okay, all right, Peter's walking. You want to go first? I'll go after you. You go. I'll go if you go. What will you do, church? What will you do, folks? What will you do? Heck yeah. What is it you're going after in life? Or where are you staying when you could be going beyond to a higher level, to something miraculous and different, right? Are the things that you have put aside that you've never done because you think, well, I can't do that. That's too hard, or I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a what? Nah. Whatever. I'm an excuse. Listen, look at it this way. Here's how I see this. If you're in this boat and it's flailing all over the place and there's water everywhere and you it's just a mess, right? What do you got to lose by getting out of it? You're probably going to drown in the boat anyway. You can hang on for dear life to the boat and go, I'm safe in the boat. Ooh, I'm safe in the boat. Are you safe staying where you are? If you have faith in God, who's on the water with you? Who called Peter out? Jesus did. Do you think God's going to call you out into something and cause you to drown? Do you think for 1 minute that God's going to say, come on, okay, oh, let's watch this. Hey, Jesus and God are talking, right? Okay, hey, listen, when Peter gets out in the boat, he's going to sink like crazy. He's going to think he can walk to me, but oh, wait to see this, what a fool he is. Is our God like that? Of course not. Peter got courage, didn't he? In that moment, he said, if it's you, Lord, I'll know it's you. I have faith in you because I know you can walk on water. That means I can walk on water too. So if it's really you, I'm going to be able to walk on water. See, there's a difference between something out here trying to tell us to do something and God calling us out. You got to know the difference. But when it's calling you out to be braver and bolder, and it takes everything in you to be bold and brave enough to do it, it takes courage like you've never had before to change. And you say, you know what? I really need to change that part of me, and I've got to do it. I'm going to go ahead and step out in faith and go to that meeting. I'm going to go to that counselor. I'm going to go to that church. I'm going to go to that place that I've always dreamed of going. I'm going to go and do the impossible, loving others, forgive. I'm going to go talk to that person I haven't talked to in 22 years, and I'm going to forgive them. That takes courage. But Jesus goes with you, right? He goes with you. Yes, you can stay in your boat. And that's okay. Peter went out. But my prayer is all of you, in the moment that you need it most, when things are the worst, you reach out to Jesus and go to something greater, something impossible. So Peter goes over, and he goes out the side. And what do the disciples say? Wow. And he walks toward Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Uh-oh. What did I just do? I just stepped out on water and I see the wind and the waves and uh-oh, this wasn't such a good idea. Where's that boat? See, sometimes when you step out, when you first step out in faith, things, does the storm stop? Does the wind die down? No. Do things keep whirring around you? Do problems keep coming at you? Yes. Now you're out of your safety zone, aren't you? You got out of the boat. Now what happens? You think to yourself, uh-oh, I'm in big trouble now, right? What happens? We become afraid again. You notice he becomes terrified. Why? Because he's not looking at Jesus. He's looking at the wind and the waves. He's back in that place of fear. You see what fear does to people and does to you and me and did it to Peter? He was so brave and courageous, and he went out. At least he went out. I'll give him that. But he got afraid. When you step out and you go to that place where you're going to get help, just driving to that place, you could be 9 other million places, couldn't you? You know how many canceled appointments I have with people that are on their way to come see me where I want to help them? And suddenly, I got a hangnail. I can't make it. I got a flat tire. My car ran out of gas. My cat, you know what? I meant to get cat food today. Because it's scary, isn't it? It's scary getting help, right? Especially back over in that office. Oh, no, sorry. wherever you go. Sometimes we're stepping out and things haven't changed immediately, have they? What do you have to do, though? Keep moving forward, right? Right? So he says, save me, Lord. See, in the middle of him going, he says, save me, Lord. What does Jesus do? You got out of the boat. You're stupid enough to do it. You're on your own, buddy. Our God is not like that, is he? What does Jesus do? He reaches out. And see, what does Peter do? He reaches out, right? See, when you're in the middle of a storm, you got to reach out. You got to reach out to God. You got to say, save me, Lord. I'm drowning in my ankle, high water. Save me. Because in your mind, you're afraid, aren't you? Fear comes in all ways. But you reach out. See, you let go of the boat, right? See, you think about this. Peter did not go, where's the boat? Where's the boat? Where's the boat? Where'd the boat go? He says, where's Jesus? You see the difference? And Jesus moves towards him even faster. Evidently, he was running on water. Right? He grabbed a hold of Peter. He'll grab a hold of you. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. He was obviously within arm's length, wasn't he? How close is God to you? Arm's length. arm's length. Sometimes you think God is where? In the heavenly realms, way up above. Where's God? Right here. And within arm's length, you just reach out. If you reach out to Jesus more than you reach out to other things, you will be saved. I promise you that. Reach out. It's okay. Can I see your arms do that? Reach out. See how, look, you can do it. You can be left-handed and do it. You can be right-handed and do it. Pretty cool. And if your arms aren't working, you can put your foot out. You can reach out in your mind. If you're in a sick bed or if you're alone or lonely, you can reach out and say, God, help me. And boom, there's God, right? Always available to you, 24/7. Always available. And Jesus asked Peter this question, why did you doubt me? See, Jesus was hurt by this. Why did you doubt me? Don't you remember the 5,000 fish, Peter? Do we sometimes lose our sanity, our faith in the middle of a storm? Of course we do. That's human nature. It's okay to doubt. It's not okay to stay in doubt, though. What were the disciples doing as they see Jesus grab Peter? Wow. Wow, Jesus just grabbed him. Wow, he's not going to drown after all. I'm glad I didn't go off the boat, but look, Jesus did get him. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Wait a minute. Why didn't Jesus stop the wind first? He could take care of nature. How did he do it backwards? Benjamin Franklin said that. But, see, you don't grow and you don't learn by everything just being handed and stopped, right? Do you think Peter ever forgot walking on water? Do you think the disciples ever forgot watching Peter and Jesus walk on water? Do you think all of them were changed by seeing that event in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the wind, seeing something that seemed as though someone was going to drown, and you watch from afar and you said, wow, look, God saved him? Is there not more value and more something lifelong for that moment? Do you see why God didn't stop the wind? Because there was a time Jesus did stop the wind, remember, in another Bible story. God can do whatever he wants to do, but see, our faith growing is more important than stopping wind and seeing 5,000 people fed. That's easy for God. You walking on water in the midst of a storm, that's miraculous, isn't it? How many of you are going through storms right now? How many of you are clinging to your boat? How many of you are just hanging on by and praying, I hope I make it? Here's my belief about that. God sees. I don't know how long you're going to take because it was 3 o'clock in the morning for them, 9 hours later. But I know that God is right coming your way to solve the problem for you. And then you have to go the other way, don't you? Right? God comes partway, you go the other. And sometimes you need to get out of the situation that you're in, especially if it's sinking. It's okay to do that. Or if you want to go into something greater, it's certainly okay to try the impossible. Anybody ever tried the impossible? Forgiving somebody, loving somebody, loving yourself, or whatever it might be that's impossible for you. But all things are possible with God, right? Then the disciples worshiped him. You are really the Son of God. What gave you that clue, disciples? Was it the Jesus walking on the water part, or was it the Peter walking on the water part? Or was it because the wind stopped? But see, does it matter? See, what matters is that they acknowledge and know that he really is the Son of God. Because sometimes we can think that coincidences do things, right? We could think that all synchronicity, you know, you met the right this person, or met that person, or do that person, and you say to yourself, oh, well, that was a coincidence. There are no coincidences with God. They're God-cidences. And God brings those things together for you. And what's important is that you really come to know and believe that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the Son of God. He's your Savior. He's your friend. He's the one who will help you walk on water. He'll help you through every storm throughout your life. He's the one you call upon when you have a problem. You call on him. And then God sometimes sends someone, like a plumber, to help solve the problem with you and for you. Or maybe a counselor. Or maybe a pastor. Or maybe a friend. God sends people to help too. Right? After they had crossed the lake, they landed. The news of their arrival spread quickly throughout the whole surrounding area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. The sick begged him to let them touch even the fringe of his robe, and all who touched it were healed. Wow. Jesus' ministry goes on, doesn't it? What do you think happened to Peter and those disciples when they saw that wow moment of Jesus walking on water and Peter walking on water? What do you think when they arrived at that next destination? How do you think they were changed? Drastically, wouldn't you say? Do you not think that their faith grew like by leaps and bounds? And then they just watched Jesus do what he always does, healing people. So I want all of you to have more wow moments. I'm going to call them walk on water moments. Ooh, how brilliant. You like? So, wherever you are in your life or on your life journey, whether you are in the situation going from point A to point B, I pray this morning by what you heard here and how it was displayed that you'll remember that when storms come your way, you have a Savior who will always come walking on the water to help you. And when you have in the middle of that storm, when all things start to get really out of control and chaotic and you get afraid, you've got to settle down. Become at peace. Call on the lifeguard. Say, save me. And just keep your head about yourself. The other side of it is this. You cannot have wow moments staying safely in your comfort zone. Take a shot. Walk on water. Just get out of your situation. Get out of your mindset. Think higher and greater. God can change and help you grow. You can do the impossible with God. And when that all happens, what are you going to say?
Wow.
And we'll say wow with you. Amen? Amen. Amen.